Blog Talk Radio.
Everything is going to be all right. You're listening to Tippy Talk. Time now to sit back, relax, listen, and enjoy the moment. Newborn is the official band that provides all the music for Tippy Talk. To hear more of the music, you can go to newbornband.com and enjoy the wonderful sound. And now it is time to step into the Tippy Zone, where we explore the other side of reality. Side that allows you to reshape your life, step into your power, and connect to the fact that we are all one. Welcome to Tippy Talk, where we go from where you are to where you want to be. I'm your host, Tippy Feldstein. Hello, everybody, and a wonderful day to you. We are here today with an exciting new show, which I am not just happy and excited to introduce, but also aware that this show is a little above and beyond what we normally do. We have authors coming in with all kinds of different books. We've maybe had one author only that writes children's books, but most of the authors are fantastic, but our author today is super duper fantastic because not only does she write children's books, she also sings. And the magic of being an author and a singer has got to be some kind of phenomenal combination. Our guest today is Tish Robbie, and she is a best-selling author, and she wrote over 170 children's books for Sesame Street and Disney and Nickelodeon and PBS Kids. But Tish Robbie also was hired to write, to take off with Dr. Seuss books where they were left off when he died. So she has been writing not only her books, but classical, amazing books that kids will never stop reading. The fact that we have an author is amazing. I think I love authors. They're my favorite of all time. But an author that sings is a very unique phenomenon, and you will not find that anywhere else. So relax. And let me welcome Tish Robbie. Thank you so much for joining us, and welcome to Tippy Talk. I'm so happy and thrilled that you're here with us today.
Well, I'm delighted to be on your show.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. I have read so much about you because it seems like the more I look into it, the more I find, which is amazing.
Yeah.
So it looks to me like you've been everywhere. You've done everything. How did you plan this? Like when you were 9 years old, you said, when I grow up, I'm going to be all over the place singing and writing children's books. Like, how did that come to you?
Well, it's funny because when I was 9 years old and all through high school, I just wanted to be an opera singer. I have a four-year degree in vocal performance from Ithaca College School of Music in upstate New York, and I was convinced all the way through high school and all the way through college that I was going to either be an opera star or a Broadway star. Children's book author was not anywhere in my dreams at all.
Wow. So that kind of appeared in your life. How did that happen?
Well, interesting. I came to New York. This is right out of college. And I auditioned everywhere, but I couldn't really get a lot of work. And through my high school music director, I got a job on Sesame Street in the music department.
Wow.
And I was typing contracts and booking musicians, and all I really wanted to do was sing with the Muppets. So I sang all day. I sang when I typed, and I sang when I filed, and I sang when I answered the phone. Sesame Street, may I help you? Well, after about a year, I think one of the composers just couldn't take it anymore. So he said, do you want to sing a song with Oscar? And my first big break was singing back up for Oscar the Grouch. Of all people.
Oh, wow. So
yeah.
You kind of marched into the Sesame Street studios and sang your way onto the Sesame Street. I love that.
I did.
That
I did. And it was so funny. And I had this, you know, barely dry vocal degree from a prestigious college. And my first big break, I think, was I love trash, anything dirty and dingy and dusty, anything ragged and rotten and rusty. Oh, I love trash. Yes, I do think that was my first big break.
Wow, that is fantastic. And it just goes to show you that when you just enjoy life and do the things that you love, you'll somehow end up at the right time at the right place. Because even though
you know,
were typing and filing. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And it's interesting because I do a lot of school author visits across the country. And I always do first and second graders because that's who reads my books. But recently I've been talking to fourth and fifth graders. And the message there is your path will change. You know, my path was clear cut, you know, eight years of singing in high school and college. And somehow I ended up on this path. And it's a really great message for students in the fourth and fifth grade. It really is.
Right. Not to cast anything in stone, to be flexible enough to go with the flow.
Yep.
That's, I think, a really important lesson, especially if you learn it at a really young age. So for you, since you were really set about singing, and you really still love to sing, it's not like...
I do.
Part of your
I
life.
Do. In fact, it was funny. I just recently officially started calling myself the singing author because I kept going to schools, and the first thing the teacher said to me was, oh, we've heard about you. You're the singing author. And the other thing that's fun is I have this little song. I'm the singing author. It's what I do. And I am proud of all of you. You read and write, and I can tell that you do it very well. Keep reading and writing, and you will see you're all authors just like me. And it is funny, when I do a presentation, these kids have seen author presentations before, but no one has ever burst into song. So I get about that far, and I start singing, and they look at each other like, I think she's singing. So, I love to sing, and now I can do it as a hobby and not an occupation, which is lovely.
Would you still want to do it as an occupation?
You know, if somebody came up to me tomorrow and said, it's finally time, you know, there's a Broadway play, got your name written all over it, sure, I'd love that. I also have a band of my own, Tish Robbie and Friends, and we sing contemporary jazz and country, and my husband plays banjo and bass in the band, and so I get to do it on the weekends, which is really, really fun.
So you went out and you picked a musical husband, too.
I did, well. Yeah.
It seems like everything, yeah.
Yeah, well, you ought to hear the family jams that go on in this house. My husband, I met in high school. We went our separate ways, but got back together, and we were in a band in high school. So it's a very musical family. All the kids sing, all the grandchildren sing. So, yeah, it's just been wonderful, really, really wonderful. And I love to share it. It's one of the reasons I have so much music on my website, which for those out there is T-I-S-H-R-A-B-E, my last name looks like rabe.com, and I have tons, I sing my books, I sing my preschool books, I sing all the time, I really do.
Yeah, actually, your website is fantastic. It's Tish, actually TishRabe.com, but it's pronounced Rabi. So
it does. It's eight letters. You're right.
Right. When I see Rabe, R-A-B-E, I would call. I always take it into the Spanish pronunciation, so it would be Rabe. But
yep.
Rabe is very close to Robbie. how did you spell it all wrong to confuse people?
Well, you're going to have to talk to my husband's family on that one. My maiden name is so long and so complicated. I'm always teasing my children that I changed my name by the time I got to the second pew in church because my maiden name was a killer, really long, real high, impossible to spell. So my name is extremely short, eight letters, but nobody can pronounce it. But there you go.
Well, you mean everybody pronounces it wrong, but it's still easy to pronounce.
Say
your maiden name.
My maiden name was Patricia, because Tish is a nickname. My last name was Psalm Siegel. And my middle name was Annette. So I had a 34-letter name, and now I'm down to eight. Eight letters.
So what happened to Annette?
Well, it's my middle name. It's my daughter's middle name, but... yeah, when I finally married my husband, I thought, let's just try to keep this as simple as possible. So that's how that happened. Mm-hmm.
I think not too many people do that, but I also did that. I took my nickname and I made it legally my first name. But I don't hear too many people that do it. They usually will have people call them on their nickname, but they won't make it legal, which I love that you did that because it makes so much sense. I mean, it's your name. It's what people call you. Why not just make it legal all across the board? I think that's fantastic.
I hear what you're saying. Exactly.
And I see also on your website you have books that rhyme all the time.
Yes.
And you have poem contests, which I think is also amazing, because you know what I find, and I don't know if you find that too, but when I read a book of poems, I read a book of poems the other day, and when I was thinking about talking to you, I started reading poems, and the funniest thing happened to me. I finished reading, and I went downstairs to get something to drink, and all of a sudden, a poem came to my head, and I couldn't do anything but write that down. And actually, I sat down and two poems came out. So I love the idea that you do that, inspire people to just write poems.
Well, it's interesting because I tell the kids at the school visits that I carry notebooks with me literally everywhere, in the car, on airplanes, in my pocketbook, because ideas, I believe, are like snowflakes. They come, and in an eye blink, they're gone if you do not write them down. All these kids think, oh, no, I'll remember. You know. But if you write it in a writer's notebook, you can go back even weeks, months later and say, there's an idea in there somewhere for a poem or a song or a book. So I really encourage everyone out there, students and adults and parents, to write down your ideas as fast as you can, even if it's the middle of the night. Have a pad of paper next to your bed, write it down.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that. I'm an author, I write a lot, but I'm not a big poet writer. So for me, I've learned that the hard way. When I was in elementary school, when I had this great idea of something I wanted to write, and I'd be like, yeah, I'll write it down later. But you know what? Later, when I sat down to write it, I had no idea what it was. There's no way I can recollect it. So I got to the point that if I was sitting somewhere and I had an idea, even if I had to write it on toilet paper, it would get written down somewhere. It didn't matter.
Yeah, right. Well, I'm not going to tell you how many wonderful Sesame Street ideas were written on cocktail napkins. I'm just saying. If it's all this around and paper, go for it.
Exactly, as long as you can write it, because you do forget. It's just like when you have a dream and you wake up in the morning, if you write it down, you'll remember it if you like it. If you don't write it down, you won't remember it. It's the same exact thing.
True.
So you also have a children's book publishing company?
I do. I wrote a book called Love You, Hug You, Read to You. It's a board book for preschool, and I included little questions like why are the kittens smiling and where are the blue butterflies, because there are studies shown that if preschoolers get involved with the book and the artwork in the book, they learn to read faster than if they just sit and listen. So I'm very, very proud of it. Love You, Hug You, Read to You. And then we did a version in Spanish, Te Amo. And that is my first Spanish-English book. And I sing that book on my website in English. And my friend Bibiana sings it on my website in Spanish. So very excited.
So you don't speak Spanish. You just had it translated.
I do not speak a word. Unfortunately, I speak a word of Spanish, but all. I wish I did. You know, if I had it, you know, maybe it's not too late. But no, unfortunately, I don't speak any Spanish at all. I work with a fabulous translator.
Well, actually, now you do speak a few words in Spanish. Te amo, te abrazo.
Yes.
Le contigo,
hola.
You know a few words, right?
Right.
Hola.
Right. I know the book.
And you know the book by heart, so you have
your
words now, which is amazing.
Yes, I do.
Fantastic. And you also have the poem contest. Do you specifically do that for the classes that you go visit, or is that open to anybody?
It's open to anybody, and I love to encourage two big things for me. Number one is encouraging reading and writing. You know, you cannot be a writer if you're not a reader. So I encourage kids and students all over the place to read. I'm also passionate about getting free books to kids in underserved situations. It's very hard for a lot of us to imagine there are children in this country who literally do not have one book. So I work with a lot of different charities to get free books to these children because it's very difficult for those of us who grew up. My mother read to us every night. I have books all over the place for my children and my grandchildren, but there are a staggering number of children across this country who do not even have one book. So those are my passions, reading, writing, and giving away free books.
That is almost unbelievable that there are children who do not have books, because I look at my kids and they have thousands of books all around. As a matter of fact, way too many books that they keep donating. So that is really shocking. And I love that you're doing that, because I think books definitely have saved my life. I don't know what I would have done growing up if I didn't have books. So I think that is really, really fantastic. So you also have a few children of your own, right?
I do. As I say to people, I'm a mom, a stepmom, and a grandmother. I've got the whole thing going on. my husband and I have four children who range from 38 to 28, and four grandchildren, two boys and two girls. So we are very, very blessed for sure.
Yeah. So where did the stepchildren come in?
When I married my husband.
When
I married my husband, they were 5 and 7. So I was telling my daughter the other day, I became a stepmom, a wife, and a mother within a year and a half. So it was a little crazy back then, and all the time I was writing children's books, of course. One thing I would like to share with your audience, and I get asked this all the time, you really do not have to have children to write for children. Dr. Seuss didn't have any of his own. You know, Beatrix Potter didn't have any. The big thing for me is that you remember your childhood. You remember what it felt like to be 4 years old or something that happened to you. My very, very, very first book for Sesame Street was based on something that happened to me. I broke my great-grandmother's teapot, and my mother told me she loved me more than any old dusty teapot. And I made that a book for Bert on Sesame Street. Bert and the Broken Teapot was my very, very first book. So I urge people out there who want to write for children. I wrote a zillion books before I had my kids. But remembering your childhood can really help.
It really could. So you say remembering your childhood, like it comes naturally to you. You remember your childhood. Part of you is really still a child, and definitely your energy is so light and airy and beautiful and kind of like a flower. When I talk to you, I feel like I'm talking to a flower that's growing. It's beautiful. But not everybody
Nice thing to say.
Childhood. Well, it's true.
Thank you.
Not everybody remembers their childhood, and not everybody wants to remember their childhood. But no matter what you're saying is really, no matter what kind of childhood or where you've been, there are things that you see from a child perspective that you can bring to an adult life and write to children. Is that what you're saying?
You're right. And the other thing that I encourage people is, kids, you know, this world is changing at a somewhat alarming rate all around us. But kids are kids. You know, they love their friends. They love their pets. They love their parents. They love new adventures, you know. And I urge people, let's not forget about writing with heart. You know, these books, a lot of my books end up with kind of a yummy ending because, you know, it's a heart tug to read to a small child. And the other thing I tell people is I often, almost always, write, if I'm writing a picture book, I write the last page first. And the reason I write the last page first is because that is the last page you'll read aloud to a child before, in many cases, they go to sleep, they shut the book, you know, and it needs to resonate. I have a book called The I Believe Bunny. It's my inspirational line. And the last page of the first book is, just like the I Believe Bunny, you may get a surprise. You can make a difference, even a bunny your size. And I wrote that first, and then I wrote The Little Adventure where the bunny helps his friend. So, you know, it's writing for children, especially little kids like I do, is very, very powerful to get the message across, and that's a great way to do it.
That's really a fantastic way to do it. So if anybody who wants to kind of listen to one of your books or see it, they can go on your website, which is Tish. Rabe, RABE.com. And then you have a page called Songs and Videos. And I think you even have a button where you can actually listen to it. Listen to, are you singing it or you're talking it? A book. So it's a great way also to introduce it to children, to let them listen to it directly from you. And also that way they can do it themselves. So I think that's really beautiful.
Well, it was nice because among the many things I've done, as you know, I'm also, for a while, and still sometimes am, the singing voice for Disney Princess. Every beautiful princess you happen to see is learning the alphabet from A to Z. So I have that, yes, I sing and narrate the books on my website. It's true.
Yeah, that's beautiful. So what are you doing now where people can come? First of all, I know they can find you on your website. Anywhere else online that we can find you besides the website?
Well, I am definitely, my books are prominently on Amazon. And I have a brand new book out, which I'm super excited about. I've been writing The Cat in the Hat's Learning Library for Dr. Seuss for 20 years, a little bit over 20 years. And my new book just came out 3 weeks ago, and it's The 100 Hats of the Cat in the Hat, a celebration of the 100th day of school. I didn't realize, because my children are in their late 20s, that the 100th day of school is like a huge deal in kindergarten, first grade, second grade. You add up the dates, you know, the days from the first day of school, you get to 100, and they have a big party and a celebration, and it's really fun. I've been to some of them, and, you know, you make necklaces out of 100 paper clips, you know, that kind of thing. And so I'm super excited about this book, and it literally just came on Amazon 3 weeks ago.
So it's called The 100 Hats of the Cat in the Hat?
Yep, The 100 Hats of the Cat in the Hat, a celebration of the 100th day of school. And the cat is the guest.
The 100th is the 100th day of school.
The 100th day of school, yep. And one of the things I wrote, which I was excited about, I write for The Cat in the Hat, the kids, and Thing 1 and Thing 2. And now I'm writing a book about the number 100, and I have Thing 1, who's an odd number, and Thing 2, who's an even number. So in the last two pages of the book, the last pages, they're having a birthday party for the Thing's grandpa, Stephen. He has 100 grandchildren, 50 have odd numbers, and 50 are even. So it's really, really cute.
Nice.
It worked out great. So yay.
That is really nice. So you did the last page first, right?
Well, on that one, yes. And the last page of that is a celebration of the 100th day of school, where the Cat in the Hat is a guest at Dick and Sally's school. So it's really, really fun. And it's the new math. It's got 10 frames and the 100 chart and the number line and all these things I had to learn how about before I put them into rhyme. So it's very exciting.
Hmm. Do you, you still get excited with every new book you did, even though you wrote so many books, almost 200
mm-hmm.
books.
It's true.
You still get excited.
Not only do I get excited to write the books, but it's unbelievable. When you write a children's book like I do, you get 10 free copies. So these boxes arrive on my porch, you know, constantly. And when you open a book and see your name on the cover, it is such a thrill. It is just, you know, every time it doesn't get old. You know, I've been doing this for 24 years. It's still, you just get a chill when you see your name on it in front of a book. Very exciting.
It's true. I think it's almost like having a baby, isn't it?
Yeah, right. Right. Easier, but yes.
Much easier, of course.
Yeah, much easier,
but
yes.
Still,
but definitely. Right.
Well, in a sense, it is the birth of a new book.
Yes, it is.
It's amazing. So you have a new book now. You still do the singing.
Yes.
You go to schools. You do it in schools and in libraries, right?
I do. And one of the things that's brand new for me, it's 6 months old, but I now am doing school author visits virtually via Skype and Zoom.
Oh.
It's really interesting because I live in New York City. I live in the Northeast, but a lot of kids in states across the country never get author visits. With this technology, I can be on a screen in their classroom and interact with them, and they interact with me, and I can sing with them. They can sing with me. And then if they buy a book, I write a book plate and send it to the teachers who put it in the books. So it works out really, really well, and I've been able to reach kids that, honestly, I don't think I would ever have gotten to some of these states. And I'm kind of hoping in 2020 to see if I can do, you know, international, because my books are read all mm-hmm. over the place, but I'm not going to get on the, probably not going to get on the plane and go to Japan, but maybe, I don't know. But yeah,
I don't know. I went to Japan. I went to Japan. It was amazing. You might enjoy that. You might enjoy
want
taking
to do
your
that,
husband.
Right?
Yeah,
yep.
I want to do that. So that's great because virtually you can really literally be all over the world. You don't really even have
that's
to
right.
travel there. That's fantastic.
That's right.
So before I let you go, I'm very curious about how I know tons of people would have loved to be in your situation to write for the Cat in the Hat to continue that series. How did you get that job? How did you get into that position?
Well, it's interesting because once I wrote Bert and the Broken Teapot, I just kept writing and writing and writing. And as you know, I wrote for everybody, Disney, Sesame Street, you know, Nickelodeon, on and on. And I did not have a character of my own. It was kind of bothering me. So I came up with an idea for a dinosaur. A brachiosaurus named Morris Aurorus had the best voice in the dinosaur chorus. He liked to play tennis and swim in the sea, but mostly he liked to eat fresh broccoli. So I sent it off to Random House, and it happened to be the timing that Dr. Seuss had wanted to do science books in rhyme for early readers, but he died before he could finish the first one. So Random House was looking for someone who could rhyme and have the rhythm, that famous rhythm that is Dr. Seuss. And my little dinosaur book crossed their desk at exactly the right time. I will admit, my little dinosaur has still not been published. Although every time I hear about him, they all laugh. But I still haven't had any luck getting him published. But writing him in rhyme and sending him into Random House. This is, again, 1995, many years ago, was just a great timing, you know, combination of luck and timing.
Actually, it's called being at the right time at the right place.
Yeah, exactly. And, I know. Isn't it crazy? And I tell the kids when they called me and said they weren't going to publish Morris Aurora's Brachiosaurus, I was so disappointed. And then they said, but we have one other thing to talk to you about. Mm-hmm. Okay. And they said, you know, would you like to write a Cat in the Hat book for us? So, yes,
wow.
It was really, really exciting. And I'm proud to be a part of it. Everyone works really hard on these books. They're researched and meticulously researched and approved by science experts. And we all, everyone who works on these books works really, really hard to keep the quality and keep close to his vision. So proud.
So that's the price you pay. You do have to work if you want to have a good product. It's not going to dreamt up by itself if you don't do any work on it.
Right, exactly. Exactly. So
the dinosaur book and the ideas and the way you come up with a concept, like the way you came up with a teapot, which was a memory from when you were a child, do you specifically go out and say, okay, I want to write a book, give me an idea, give me an idea, give me an idea, and boom, an idea drops into your head? Or is it like more natural phenomena? Like how do you come up with it? Sometimes you dream it at night. Like where do these ideas come from to you?
It's a great question. And to tell you the truth, the answer to that is it's kind of all over the place. Sometimes, like with the science books, I am assigned a topic. And sometimes things just come to me. Great example, I wrote a Christmas book, a little golden book, a Christmas book called A Very Crabby Christmas. And all the scientists at Random House.
I love that.
Do you love it? So I have a title now, right?
Yeah.
The only thing the scientists told me at Random House was that crabs walk in a line to the ocean at Christmas. Nobody knows why, but they do, and that's all I had. I had one line of science, and I had a title. That's all I had. I was driving to have lunch with my girlfriend. I drove past a church. I pulled into the parking lot, and all of a sudden, it just hit me. All these crabs are walking in line, and all of a sudden, they lose crab 9. And in the book, they run around trying to find her. And in the end, they have a big party on the beach. And crab 9 comes out in a gown made of kelp and sings, "Thank you, Dick, Sally, and the cat, for all of your help. Thank you from all of the crabs in the sea, but most of all, Merry Christmas from me." And I just I sat there in my car, and I knew that I was Little Crab 9 because she's singing on the beach in her gown made of kelp. And so that is an example of all of a sudden, you know, lightning flash. But mostly what happens is you have an idea for a book. I had this idea for the I Believe Bunny, who believed in himself and believed he could make a difference. And you sort of put yourself in what would that character do in this situation? And you follow, you know, what your instinct is for what would happen next. It's a process.
So it also involves some research, you're saying, some of the topics especially the science.
Yes, the science books, the Cat in the Hat Learning Library series, and all the offshoots, and the PBS Kids show, The Cat in the Hat Knows a Lot About That, all of that material is researched absolutely so specifically and carefully. I have a book that's a fabulous bestseller, There's No Place Like Space, and I wrote the book when we had 9 planets. And the next thing we find out is that Pluto has been reclassified, and now there are 8 planets. And we had to go back in. I'm serious. We had to go back in, rewrite the book, take out Pluto, and revise and revise and revise because the science had changed. So everybody involved
in the
Cat in the Hat's Learning Library is super careful. Super careful.
Right, but when people are wrong scientifically and they find this scientifically proven beyond and it's wrong, then there's really nothing you can do.
Right. Well, and science changes. You're right. Changes every day, right? True.
Exactly. So I love that all the crabs are walking in a line. All of a sudden, they lose crab number 9. I just
yes.
love that one. I think
I'm
going to go to sleep with that one tonight. But before we let you go, can you maybe sing one of your poems for us?
Sure. So I think I sang The Singing Author for you. Another one that I sing to the kids is reading and writing, both are so exciting. Read a book or write a story, start right now. So when I leave my school author visits, that's the last thing they sing with me. And it's inspiring. I just have to urge everybody to read. And again, I say to the kids, you cannot be a writer if you're not a reader. So keep reading, writing, and singing. That's me.
Thank you so much. That's been really charming and wonderful talking to you. That's a great way to finish it up with a beautiful little song. And I have a feeling that you still have hundreds of books inside of you that are bursting to come out one at a time. So thank you so much for joining us. It's been a total pleasure.
Thank you for having me, Tippi. It's been wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Enjoy your day, everybody. And we have been talking to Tish Rabi, where you can find at tishrabi.com, spelled T-I-S-H-R-A-B-E. My name is Tippi Felsenstein, and I want to wish you all an amazing rest of the day. Thank you, Tish.
Thank you.